Hello and welcome to another Connecting Consciousness, Friday the 27th of December, nearly into the new year, and hope that, you know, for those of you like us who celebrate Christmas, it was good and that you were able to have some time, do whatever you needed to do and take a welcome break from all of the chores and tribulations that often surround us the rest of the year. So that's great that we've hopefully all had that break. And you would have noticed that it was fairly quiet in the news. It's very interesting that just prior to Christmas, there was a lot of jitter, a lot of talk about you know, mass shootings or bombings that were going to occur. And I didn't come out for that one. And just before Christmas, I sent a message out on the website saying that there had been a message sent out from the dark side, to use the term, putting a stop on any of the activity, or most of the activity anyway, that was slated or scheduled to occur over Christmas. And for those of you who had the time to check my website, you would have seen that I wrote that in most cases I felt that that would be received, but there might be the odd place where that information wasn't received, or they chose to ignore it. But as you saw over the Christmas period, it was relatively calm. Obviously in Britain we've had some issues, but that particular attack on the bridge was less about orchestration from a wider organisation and much more about what was going on in one man's head. So that's a relief that I don't have to be sitting here talking to you about all of the situations that might have occurred over Christmas, and I'm pleased that the information that I received was accurate, and I wasn't going to be a scaremonger and join the panic that was taking place on some parts of the web. I'd received the same information that other people had, but when I looked at where that had come from, I wasn't convinced of its veracity. It hadn't come from the sort of source that I would, you know, take a lot of interest in. And indeed, when I didn't get a confirmation from anywhere else, then I wasn't going to go down the fear-mongering road of mass shootings and bombings in every European city or town. And that didn't occur because it was never slated to occur. All right, a fair bit to get through. I did have a look at Benjamin Fulfoot's site. I haven't looked for weeks and weeks, but I was determined as we were coming up to the year to have a look and check in on what he was writing. Interesting enough, he'd written about Japan. I largely agree with that. A large number of operatives with a sort of an Italian type connection through to the Japanese elite have been arrested, and I would agree that doesn't bode well for the Japanese Prime Minister, and there may be some comeback regarding Fukushima. So I would agree with Benjamin Fulford that sort of matching what I'm hearing from other sources. So let's talk about Donald Trump on his way January 31st to the Davos meeting, the big meeting that all of the leaders usually attend, although last year Trump tried to get out of it. This is a meeting that is not just a standard meeting where members of government go to talk about, you know, how we're going to make this work or that work and how can we all be best friends together. This is much more about how to keep the ship afloat, how to maintain the situation when the ship's full of holes and there's leaking. So that's really where we are with it. President Trump has to go to Davos because it is not in his interest for any economic situation to occur in 2020. It's his election year, and he really needs the economy at least to, you know, maintain the illusion of successfulness through the world until that time. Oddly enough, on the ground in America, you know, the economy is actually stronger. You know, you may find that hard to understand that, you know, on one hand people are talking about a paper currency, it's all built on debt. But the point is, if a a firm or a company or a corporation believes that it's stronger, then it will hire more people and it will pay more wages. Regardless of what's happening on a global level, locally in many states, not all, but in many states of America, the number of jobs that have increased is incredible. And the number of people in work, I think, is an all-time high. And so it's very hard, perhaps, to try to make the connection between, well, why is the world economy in such a bad way if, you know, my local firm is taking on more people? And it's literally that whilst locally you may have a big customer base, you may be producing more material and it may be selling better, but the system that it's tied to, the system that it relies on, that's the system that's actually beginning to collapse, obviously. Now, President Trump will go to Davos because he has to play his part to negotiate the survival of the world economy, at least up until, election, 3rd of November 2020. But this is what happens every year. These people get together and they give a little bit in order to try to maintain the ship. So I want to talk about that. So people shouldn't immediately attack President Trump and say, oh, he's going to Davos, he's obviously thrown his lot in with all the others. The reality is that if you're not there arguing and you're not there putting your point of view, others will stitch you up. And he tried that last year and look what happened. So he's learnt that he has to go there and he can't send someone else in his place. He shouldn't do that. He has to go there and he has to be very forceful and fight for what he thinks is right. And I'm sure he will. So that was I wanted to talk about. The other one is the situation with the United Nations. You may have picked up some world leaders lately have been making comments. One of the comments was that the United Nations is an organization without a brain, literally. These are very guarded comments because the United States is basically withdrawing some of the funding from the United Nations and is actually saying to the UN, never mind what's going on with NATO, the United Nations needs to become more self-financing. America pays a large majority of the wages, the operating costs. Look at global warming. When President Trump said he wasn't buying into that, he no longer provided, through the United States of America, of course, he no longer provided any funding for it. So all of these people who jet set fly all over the world to talk about global warming rather than taking the bicycle. They fly everywhere for these meetings, and what do? They sit around, they talk about lots of meetings, and they talk about having meetings to talk about meetings, but there's no money behind it because America's not put any money. So they're too proud to actually put a stop to these meetings. They're too proud, or they don't want to admit that there's no purpose in them, so they still continue to have them. Their elite friends stir up certain aspects of populations to have big demonstrations, and it was called global warming. And I was saying to Becky only a day or so ago that I would question, I'm sure many of you did, well, why is it snowing if it's global warming? Why is this happening? And so they realized that they weren't winning the arguments. They changed it to climate change. So it's climate change. It's no longer global warming, it's climate change, because they couldn't answer the question that, well, we're getting very heavy snow. So, America's right to be cautious about this. There is a globalistic view attached to other very, very nasty elements that are, really seeking to try to use any excuse to reduce human population. And there's still people who believe that there are too many people on the earth and that the numbers need to be reduced. But they understand that people have become more savvy, they've become more aware, and so they are using more covert operations, or at least they are trying to hide these agendas within politically okay agendas. And so there are a lot of people who campaign for one subject, which on the face of it looks perfectly great and wonderful, but don't realise that that's just a facade, and they're being used because the handful of people, and it is only a handful, of these totally deranged madmen are just using that as a vehicle in which to try to carry their own very sick agenda. So I'm very, you know, supportive, as all of you are, for environmental works that assist and help, but not if it's just the front of a spear, because all the rest of the stuff behind the point is something that we wouldn't ever sign up to. So that was interesting, that there's a lot of politics to be done in the first 3 months of the new year, actually. I want to talk about the 5G defense sticks. You know, finally, it's been quite a difficult, as all these negotiations are, to get somewhere. And there are a few questions, and rather than take lots of questions directly on that, I'll try and address it. I guess when Becky goes through the questions, there may be one or two, and we'll just take them as they come. So I'll try and answer and prejudge some of the questions. Now, I didn't invent them, okay? They're not my technology. I've been asked, as the head of Connecting Consciousness, to be a facilitator for it. In other words, to carry the advert. So when somebody wants to buy one of them, they go onto my website, they have a look at it, they click the link, and that takes you across to, you know, where it's being sold from, and then you pay them. You're not paying me, okay? Somebody completely, either, I don't know, deliberately or just didn't understand it, thought that I was selling them. I'm not selling them. And anybody who clicks on the link will see that I'm not selling them. I'm actually hosting it and supporting it because I want technology that protects people, and I'll do anything I can to support and help that. So what I want to do is to just give you the story about what happened. We were approached by the Russian scientists who had developed what I call phase one technology. That's a technology that relies on microcircuitry. I'm going to hold one up. I don't know how good this is going to come out on the camera. So here's the first, what I call the first generation. I don't know if that's going to come out, but you can see it's very easily understandable. It is in Russian on the back there, look. So that's easy for us to, from a layperson's point of view, to see all the you know, the diodes and the resistors, and understand that that was what we were looking at. But then we met another scientist, completely different from the Russian group, and he was very aware of this technology, but through his own separate research, he'd been working on what I call phase two, which is a crystalline technology. Now, let's face it, we've had quartz watches for many, many years, where your normal watch contains a quartz crystal. That quartz crystal is struck by a small electric current. It counts the beats that this crystal makes, and that's very, very, very regular. And it's that quartz crystal that actually controls the timekeeping in a quartz timepiece. So for many years, the civilian side of science has been aware of the benefit of crystals from the electronic point of view. The military or the secret organizations have known a lot more. And those of you who either have experienced alien contact or have read very accurate accounts know that many of these off-planet species use crystal technology. Indeed, the crafts that crashed in 1947 in Roswell contained a crystal array in the very front, whereas a standard jet fighter will have a phased array radar in the front to detect aircraft and fire missiles, lock them on target to look at mapping of the terrain. Many off-planet species use crystals to do the same thing, but it's about how you send intent into the crystal. And again, those of you who listen to this show and many other shows will be aware of water technology, where you can impart intention into water. There have been a number of experiments that have shown that is actually accurate, and the Japanese, of course, really, really came across with that. So here's phase two. I call it phase two. They're not related at all. The first group is from Russia, and this is coming from a completely different source. And this is a crystal. Now the logo on that, I approved of that. This is the temporary logo. It's actually St. George slaying the dragon. Okay. So before anybody thinks that there's any hidden meaning in this, it is literally St. George killing a reptile. So I'm sure that will go down very, very well with those of you who know me very well. This, it comes with a lid. That's the beautiful lid. And then you plug it into your USB, and a violet or a little purple LED activates to show you that it's working. So these are completely separate from the Russian sticks. I'm not promoting the Russian sticks. I'm promoting this, which I consider to be a more advanced form, because it is crystal technology that has been imprinted with a consciousness. Now, let me just plug it back in and then we can get going. There it is. I tried both objects, and I have to say that I found benefit with both. The stick that we've got here, we've been using now for about nearly 2 weeks, I would say, something like that. I've always been reasonably resistant to these type of waves. For those of you who've been following me for a number of years, you will remember that they went and put a big aerial, a big mast, which was 4G at the time, right outside the home. In other words, if I was to measure it, probably something like 100 feet, about 100 feet away, right in line with the house, was a huge cell tower. And that they did that within 3 months of me going public. Now that could be coincidence, but I don't believe in coincidences. And when we did a meter reading of the top floor, where I had my computer and where I was doing my radio shows back then, it recorded into the danger level. In actual fact, it was Wynne Keach who had all the technology, and he came to do it, and he said it's extremely dangerous. And you need to write in and get them to come and independently check it. And he said that they will by law have to do something, because he said it's absolutely horrendous. Yet in the rest of the place, and in the house next door, nothing. Just in that level, that was absolutely being bombarded with it. Now I survived that for quite a few months. But what I have noticed with this second stick, this is the non-Russian stick, this crystal technology, is that the environment within its field, I've noticed a calmness. As I say, I'm not probably the best person to test these things, because I'm not overly affected by it. I'm sure biologically, if it was high enough, I would. But I'm not that affected. Now, some people who have used this second, what I call the second generation, have said that they are feeling less headaches, migraines have gone. There's been a big advantage. Now, when you go on, you'll be able to check to see, there'll be some things for you to read and have a look at. They are expensive. They are more expensive than the Russian ones, because the technology is greater and it's much harder to make. It's about $350 a stick. The hope is, and the belief is, that when these things are mass produced, and they intend to mass produce them, that price will come down. And also, on the next batches that arrive, will be Connecting Consciousness logo. So the logo that Becky created and I authorized, that will replace the St. George and the Dragon. So the St. George and the Dragon is an interim. They needed some sort of logo on it, and St. George slaying the dragon, the reptilian, was, to me, it tickled me quite like that. So the future batches will actually have Connecting Conscious logo. Originally, when we were thinking of the Russian group, we were talking about small numbers, and I said to my coordinators, I'm going to give you first go at this because I've got to protect my coordinators. And then when the coordinators have had a chance to get any, then we'll open it up to the public. But because there's going to be a small factory producing these, not in Britain and not in America, but there will be a small factory, the numbers are much greater, which is fantastic news, which means there should be enough for everyone to go around. So I no longer need to hold some back for the coordinators. They can just go on and look at it. Now, when this podcast goes out, which ought to be tomorrow from where I'm looking at it, you'll be able to go onto my website, simonparkes.org. There'll be a link there. You click on that, it takes you through to those who are, you know, responsible for the distribution. And it's pre-ordering. I think the last I heard was that they will begin to be able to dispatch them from the 7th of January. So they're taking pre-orders. So you go through my website, simonparkes.org, you go straight to them, and then if you want to buy one, then you just click on there, pay for it, and then you are down on a pre-order list to obtain it. So there we go. It's not the Russian technology. This is completely different. I've had about 5 or 6 Skypes with the guy behind it, and there'll be lots of details for you to read up about him and the other scientists who are involved. Very happy with the technology. I understand it as far as I can. I'm not a scientist, but I understand the concept of it quite clearly. And although I'm not the best person to trial it, I certainly have felt better. I sit at this computer quite a lot, as I guess you do. So this stick is plugged in here. It produces a bubble of protection, and I definitely have felt somewhat better. The router is behind me. That blue light you can see behind me, that somebody thought was a demon, is actually just the router. And I definitely feel better with that. So there we go. That's the news so far. And I think what we'll do now is we'll just go straight on to the questions, please, Becky.
Okay. The first question is from JJ from Canada, who said, "In the past, you said magic could be good or bad, but I want to know what your honest opinion is. I've practiced it for over 10 years and only felt drawn to good magic."
Okay. Magic can be good or bad because it is dependent on the person who is interacting with that energy. If your intent is to do good, then you know you will produce good magic. If your intent is to harm others or gain from others in a way that you know puts them at disadvantage, then that's not good magic. So there isn't a good magic and a bad magic. It's one of the problems that we face in a society, Western world society, that has been lied to. We don't go to school or college and learn about magic. It's something that we hear from an aside via Hollywood, or if we go online, or if we join or read about occult histories. And many words have made it into normal parlance, which are totally inaccurate. And I use them because that's what people understand. Now, the word black magic is taken as evil magic, when that's not the case at all. In the real true sense of the word, it means hidden magic. Just like the Americans will have a black ops, black operations. It just means that project is off limits, it's off site, it's hidden. And so a black magician or black magic isn't evil magic, it's magic that's hidden. It is the occult. Occult means hidden magic. If I want to use the word evil magic, I will say satanic magic. But I know that most people understand the word black, and I suppose I should try and, you know, use the words. But every time I use the words, people sort of question me and say, well, isn't black magic evil magic? So, you know, no, it's not. If a person is a good person and wishes to use good magic and is strong enough to not be corrupted, then the magic they create is good magic. And I would sort of define good magic as something that does not hurt somebody else. It's about service to others rather than service to self. So magic is magic. You know, it's like we were listening to someone on the radio or YouTube today, and he was talking about technology. He wasn't talking about magic, and he said that a gun could be worn on the holster of a cop, or it could be used for a bank robbery. In other words, technology is what it is, but it's how it's used. So when dynamite was invented as a way of saving lives in the mining industry, it was then taken to use for bombs. So magic is exactly the same as that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mariam says, with gratitude to Simon, Becky and the crew for your work, love and commitment. I have two questions. I have read that since 2007, due to misuse of planetary power by non-spiritually evolved ET, our sun is actually in the process of slowly dying and losing its dark matter body, hence the solar flares we have experienced, and that the next 900 years will be the last years of possibility of life and integration and evolution in this system. I appreciate your thoughts on this.
Thank you. No, don't accept any of that. The sun is a living part of the solar system. It's a binary star. It exists with the black sun, and it is part of the balance. Off-planet entities have, in relatively recent years, been doing something, and I have to say that, doing something to the sun to fine-tune its frequency. If you can imagine an object that emits a particular frequency, then the living creatures who are being bathed or receive that frequency, including the Earth, that is the trigger mechanism that creates that planet and the living creatures within that or on that planet to evolve and transfer to a higher dimension. So in order to speed things up, benevolent off-planet entities have been doing things to the sun so that that frequency shift is faster, quicker, and therefore we are being sped up. It's had to happen because the evil side have exceeded the trajectory for time that had been allotted to them. And I'm sorry for those words. Basically what I'm saying is that the evil group are ahead in terms of their manipulation and their control of where they were plotted to be. So it was assumed that humanity would have made such and such an advancement by this time, and the gulf between the evil group and the vast majority of the decent people would be quite large as we left them behind. But what's occurring is that the evil group are clinging on more tenaciously than was expected. Therefore, this process of evolution has had to be sped up, which is why many of you are suffering headaches, migraines, not just because of 5G or electronic frequencies, but simply because of the way that we are having to be sped up. And so many of us, including myself, sometimes feel absolutely exhausted. You wake up, or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you feel as if you've climbed Mount Everest. And you think, well, what actually have I done today? I've done what I needed to do, but you know, I feel like I've been on a 10-mile run. And it's not because you're getting old or anything like that. It's simply because the frequencies around you are having to be artificially altered to combat a very real perceived threat that is taking the place around us. And the sun will work that energy on us. Partly the reason for chemtrailing, partly the reason to block out the sky is to prevent this frequency, higher unusual frequency, from reaching us, which is evolving us, hopefully without hanging about in the fourth dimension too long, straight into the fifth. So one of the reasons for absolutely covering the sky with all this by negative forces is to try to hold back the evolution process, which the sun will do. So we have to be careful when anybody says, well, in 900 years or 500 years, or this is going to happen, that's going to happen. No, that's not my understanding. If we believe in a creational force, and we believe that like all of us, that the sun was created, And is a semi-living entity, just as the Earth is. And if we believe that that sun is part of the evolution and advancement of humanity, I can assure you that that creational force would not allow or not build in anything to that sun that would cause it to destroy or decay like that. At some point, the sun will do so, but certainly not for a massive amount of time. So there are a number of these quasi, they're not religious organizations, but they tend to sound religious. They don't sell themselves as that. But when you read and look at what they've written, it has this religious feel to it. Be very careful. That's not the case. Thank you. It's a good question. I'm glad to try and answer it for you.
Okay, and the second question of the set is, okay, also I have heard that in 2037 our Earth will experience a type of mitosis, splitting of worlds, with a part of it literally shifting in dimensional reality. Would also appreciate your thoughts on this. Thank you. Kind regards, Marion.
Oh, I have no problem with that at all, but the date is wrong. It's much sooner than that. There will be a division. This is what we would call the event, the change, where a proportion of humanity will go to the fifth dimension and a proportion will... I'm not really clear. I think that they probably will stay or hang about in the lower fourth. But certainly this division is going to occur, but a long time before the date you've given. Did you say...
2037.
No, that's too far in the future. The reason that everything is all action stations now is because this is imminent. If it was 2037, you wouldn't have this battle. Remember that we went through the portal 31st of December 2012, and that was a turning point, and it meant that there was no going back for percentage of us. If it was really 2037, then the very negative forces wouldn't feel so pushed up against the wall as they are, and they wouldn't be doing all the things they're doing. They'd say, oh, we've got more time on our hands to, you know, try and come up with a solution. I know you're going to ask me for a date. Maybe if someone writes in, I'll give you a date. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Jude from Australia says, hi, Simon. Thank you for all your work you do. How do I purchase your anti-5G device from your website? I cannot work out how to order one. So there's one of our questions about how to get the stick.
Thank you. hopefully you didn't tune in late, as they say, and you heard what I said earlier. There will be, by the time this goes live, fingers crossed, we're not a great big corporation. We rely on the kindness and help of people who have a greater Earth technology than I have, but this should go out tomorrow, and when it does so, you should be able to go to simonparks.org, that's the Connected Consciousness website, my website, and you ought to be able to find a link which will allow you to do so. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Connie says, Simon, if anything this man has to say, we could all be in trouble. He worked on Project Looking Glass. I think we need to share the information. Now, I checked this and it was something that we had seen, a link that we had seen part of, and it was a gentleman talking about Project Looking Glass and also talking about monitoring the sound waves coming in from the universe. He's a mathematician, and he was talking that he could basically pick up energy from pre the Big Bang, and that he was saying it was the word of God.
Right. We did see, Becky and I did see about 20 minutes of this. The question came in, and you know that normally I'm not bothered about the questions. They'll just come in and I'll just answer them. But sometimes Becky will say, are you okay with this one? Are you okay with that one? And I was aware of the man, but I wasn't aware of what he was talking about. So the link had been sent to us, and I watched about 20 minutes of it. I think one of the problems is that in this particular interview, this guy was talking about project Looking Glass, he wasn't shown. So it was a Skype, I guess, a Skype or a Zoom, and there were two interviewers, and he's not shown. And I've always had a problem with people who want to give you information but don't want their face to be seen. Because if you can't show yourself, if you can't ask someone to believe in you because here I am and this is who I am, then why should they believe if you're in the hiding? You know, it's difficult. It's a very hard thing. If you're asking someone to believe you, you know, and you're in hiding, well, you wouldn't come out and give the information anyway, because any of the elite organizations are going to know exactly this voice wasn't disguised. They'll know who he is, you know, and if they're going to kill you, they're going to try and kill you. So it doesn't make sense to me. And I don't show fear. You know, I'm not going to hide in the bush. I haven't done for over 10 years. I won't do that. I will come out and say, this is who I am. And the very first time I went live, if you like, and who I was, I said exactly what I was, what I believed that I was. And so it was very clear. And so this guy wasn't shown. Now, the content of his information was reasonably accurate, as far as I'm concerned. Talked about Project Looking Glass. I sometimes call that the Alice operation, because it's about time, distortion, and other dimensions. And, you know, it's got the label, I suppose, because you look into other places. So it was actually less about Project Looking Glass was less about time management, looking forward in time, looking back in time, and more about other dimensions. That's my understanding of it. In terms of reading signs or signals that go back before the Big Bang, that sounds entirely plausible to me, because there had to be something that created the Big Bang. There had to be something. I've never been able to look at a blank sheet of paper and say, okay, well, this was what was before the Big Bang. Okay, well, you know, well, who created that? Who created that? Where is God? Where is that? You know. So, if someone could say that they have been part of an operation or part of a secret eavesdropping, you know, intelligence-led system that detected something that created that, that's fine. Now, if those spokespeople want to put the word God to that, then that's their take on it, that's their terminology. You know, this guy was saying that it was like the word of God and all the rest of it. Well, anything that creates the known universe, the multiverses, must be a great creator. But it's very difficult to try and slap the God of the Bible onto something like that, and I wouldn't dream to do that. So I did listen to it, and I've got no problem with Project Looking Glass. That's exactly what it was. The guy did know what he was talking about. However, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but the depth of information, I only listened to 20 minutes. Maybe that was wrong, but that's all I had to listen to it. There wasn't anything there that was groundbreaking. If you're going to go on and talk to people, then you need to give them everything you know. Now, if he had in the 20 minutes regarding that project, that was everything he knew, then all I can say was that he was compartmentalized in whatever he was doing, and he only had a handle on the element that he was decoding. He didn't have an understanding of the best of it. So that's my answer to you. Thank you for that. I was pleased to look into that for you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ivana says, "Dear Simon and Rebecca, I hope my small monthly donation will help you in your way of service to humanity. I admire your work and for 7 years now have been listening to you and following you. I have had trouble signing up as a member of CC. Never, I had it been confirmed, never got an answer from you. It's been months now and I've made several attempts. I'm from Slovenia.
Ah, right.
My questions are, can I please be a member of CC? Why did I not succeed in my application? And the other one's completely unrelated.
Okay, so. Right. When a person has filled in a membership to be a member of CC, if there isn't a coordinator in the country then regrettably sometimes that gets lost, because you know that person has to be passed on to someone else who's nearby to it. And this is one of the reasons that I approved the moving across to the MeWe Pro, and I want to talk a little bit about that since I've got an opportunity now. We've had the American contingent, God bless you, on MeWe Pro. This is our communication platform that's nothing to do with Facebook or Twitter or any of those. We wanted a separate, and I'll talk about why we chose that in a minute, but a separate group is called MeWe Pro, and that's our communication system, if you like, between members, and then within that they can have their different themes, their different topics, and then will form their own forums or their own groups, if you like. And we are going this year coming 2020, we're going to roll this out for every member across the planet. So it doesn't matter now whether you have or you do not have a coordinator, you will have access to MeWe Pro, which means that you will be able to communicate with, you know, people that believe and think like you do, and you don't have to have a coordinator, you know, in your country. I'd obviously apologize. There have been a number of portals open over the last 7 years to join Connecting Consciousness. The only one that is active now, thank goodness, is the one through the website, the main website. And if you haven't been receiving any emails from CC, then you need to go onto the main website and register. Because if you were a member, no matter how you joined, you would have been receiving emails. You need to check your junk folder. Lots of people have been repeatedly trying to join when they are already members and they haven't checked their junk folder. And there's about 20 messages from us in there. So please, please, please make sure before you re-register that you've not been receiving them through another email address. Many people have got several email addresses and they register with one and then they use something else, and we've had that a number of times. So please try and do that. MeWe Pro is brand new. It is designed for corporates who don't want industrial espionage. It was originally written by experts in the corporate world for corporates who want to have very high level discussions around, you know, secret projects. And I don't mean our type. I mean, let's say a new fuel for a motor car, or, you know, a new long lasting light bulb they might be working on, whatever it is. They don't want that information hacked or taken by their competitors. Also, they don't want information sold to third parties so that people can sell them stuff. We're not a corporation, we're a voluntary organization. And what happened is that there was a mix-up, and I got an email. Now, what was it, Becky? How much did they want off us?
Nearly $3,500 for one month subscription.
For one month, just to show you how lucky we are. And I want you to use MeWe Pro. We got a bill for $3,000+ for 1 month. 1 month of using this.
After the US members were in, when we had about 500 members in.
Okay, so we had 500 members using it, and the bill came through for about $3,500 for 1 month. So, of course, you know, you don't need to know what happened, except the fact is that when Tana, the US coordinator, obviously responding to my somewhat pointed messages, confirmed that actually as a non-profit, we had been offered it free. And the chief executive, or the senior officer, the boss of MeWe Pro, said, and I quote, it was along the lines of, I'm really impressed with what Becky and Simon and the ethos of Connecting Consciousness, and I can confirm to you that you can have it for free. Now, isn't that amazing that a large organization that is sort of making that sort of money, because corporates can afford that, and it's worth them paying that because they don't want their information stolen. And this guy obviously had some spiritual bones in his body, and he saw what we were about and said, hey, that's really cool, I like that, I'll support it. So we've got the best level of protection that the civilian side can get, apart from, you know, if you're absolute expert on it. But we've got a platform that guarantees not to sell your information and makes it very hard for the non-professionals to hack into. Of course, people like the CIA and the NSA can hack into anything. So that's why we went for MeWe Pro. That's why we're doing it. And I need everyone to move across to that, because they don't like the idea of Facebook. And I know now that, WhatsApp, that I use a lot, is now owned by Facebook. That's the story behind that. Okay, I'm going to do some thank yous now. Over the Christmas period, I've had lots of very small donations, which I'm incredibly grateful to, and a couple of, you know, really useful ones. I keep on talking about the 14-year-old car now. It's good to go in for its annual check, and I just sort of don't know what to think, whether it will get through or not. So I want to thank Sonja, Eileen, Michael, Kevin, Lisa, Raphael, Charlie, James, Thomas, Jacques, Drumset, Leaf, Richard. Thank you, Richard. That was arrived on Christmas Day. He did it deliberately. It was a brilliant Christmas present. Thank you. DK, Karim, Marianne. Thank you, Marianne. You're helpful. John, very helpful. Abby, Eric, Carol, Lexington, Mary, Ivana, Pam, Becky, Suzanne, Candice, Carol, Valerie, Ella, I think, Zofia, Bob, Donald, Imogen, Enrique, Robert, Sue, Sheila, Margaret, Divana, Sue, and I think this one is DV Works or Divi Works. Christopher, Bolivia, Katrina, Andre, Raymond, nearly there. Looks like Bardob, Vicky, thank you, Vicky, and Martin. There were others, but I haven't been able to write all your names down because the page went down just as we were about to do the show. So those of you who have helped, and I haven't personally thanked you, I'm thanking you now, and all of those who did help. So that's great. Now, I think we could do a few more questions, couldn't we, Becky? Is that all right?
Yeah, we can. I just wanted to address, first of all, so if people are applying to become CC members and haven't heard back from us, as long as you've applied through Simon's website, simonparks.org, the application will have gone through. Please don't keep applying, because we are getting many repeat applications from people. Sometimes, you know, like 20 in a go. So someone's just done it again and again and again, maybe press the button again and again. We do have someone who's trying to stay on top of this data and cleaning it all up, keep it so that the database is just clean and clear. For places that don't have coordinators, we are still, I'm constantly looking at the database and constantly speaking with people to be coordinators for new coordinators for countries. So it's a process, it's a works in progress. I know that there's some countries who have almost or just around 100 members and still no coordinator, because our membership overall is growing so big so quickly that I am looking for coordinators soon for countries like Austria, Italy, Poland, Czechoslovakia, well, Czech and Slovakia. So these are the places where we're looking for coordinators very soon. So thank you, everyone, for your patience, and it is a works in progress. And regarding MeWe Pro, yes, the US members are in and enjoying it. And the next phase is we're going to be very soon inviting, because we're inviting people in groups, in batches, simply because when a whole lot of people go in, I need to then invite them into their private country groups. So we're going to be inviting the UK members next, Wales, Ireland, Scotland, England. After that, I'm going to be inviting in Canada, Australia, New Zealand and other places, yep. and Europe. So everyone within the next couple of months, all CC members will hopefully be invited into Connecting Consciousness, into MeWe Pro CC. We'll be working on the latest membership as well, so we'll be constantly checking for new members and updating them. It is a works in progress because there's just about two or three of us working on this.
That's really helpful.
Okay, so thank you. So the next question
is... No, hang on 2 seconds, just okay. To go on that. Becky is in charge of that. Mm. Becky runs that. I couldn't have oversight of that directly and do the work I do. So Becky takes the role on that. That's important. We live in an age where we're used to instantaneous response, and I know when people click on the link to join, I think what many of you are expecting is an email that comes straight back to you saying, thank you very much indeed for your application form, we have it. We're not a corporate, you know, and when I looked at how much it would cost to run the website, to run all of it, you have all these add-ons, and it just becomes, it's just more and more money, more and more money. So what we had to do was go for the basic, because that's what we could afford. Remember that we don't have subscriptions. We don't monetize the YouTube. All of my ones go out are not monetized. And that's deliberate, because if I used to do that, there are two things. One's a spiritual thing, one's a control thing. And the spiritual thing is, I don't actually want my information tied to money. I want to be separate from that. That's why I don't ask any of you who are members of Connecting Consciousness to pay for a membership. The second thing is that if YouTube are paying you, even if it's a small amount, they've got you, because there's nothing stopping them turning around and saying, we don't want you talking about this, or we don't want you talking about that, and we will stop paying you. And you become reliant on that. You know, it's a regular income. It may not be much, but you know, it's regular. It might be, I don't know, a few hundred dollars a month, which is a lot to me actually. But you know, for some of these bigger guys, it might not be a huge amount, but they become reliant on it, and so you become under political pressure. So I don't want any of that, and that's why we don't do it. So we don't have all the snazzy all bells and whistles, as we say in Great Britain. We don't have that. But just be patient, please. I've got a small group of really dedicated, wonderful people who, out of their own time, they have jobs, and through the time that they're not working, they are going through this and they are doing what they can, and you know, that's just please be patient. And so thank you. Let's have the next question then.
Okay, so the next question is from Thomas, who says, I had my first session with you. You told me that I'm Pleiadian and here for the first time, which is very rare, and that they, the bad guys, know exactly who I am.
Yep.
Not so long ago, I had such an experience of a metal spider, he's put spider in speech marks, okay, spying on me at night from the ceiling of the bedroom. Mm. What would you say, out of your experience over the years, in the proportion of star seeds currently having their first incarnation? 1 out of 50 or 1 out of 100? And overall, what's roughly estimated experience in the proportion of different star seeds now?
Okay, that's a very math question.
He just mentioned the spider. I thought he was going to ask a question regarding that.
For me, the most important that isn't what you've said, it's the spider. The spider is AI. They can be semi-organic or they can be robotic. And depending, and I always ask the question when I get to the opportunity to do is, did you see it move? And if you saw it move, how did it move? And then I will, you know, try and show, because the answer there tells me whether it's AI, whether it's semi-organic, and therefore who's behind it, who's pulling the strings. The spider is a spy. It's there to observe anybody who is psychic, anybody who has broken free of the matrix. I'm using the word deliberately. Can be expected to be visited by these things. They typically, when you first wake up in the morning, this is typically when you see them, they are on the ceiling or on the wall, and they will move either up the wall, down the wall, or across the ceiling, and they will enter a portal. So they won't disappear behind a bookcase, they will just vanish as they enter a portal. That's fourth dimensional technology, dependent on what that creature is. It's whether it's run by a reptilian type force or whether it's run by an artificial intelligence force. In terms of if the sort of question you were asking about first time incarnated Palladian, there are tons of Palladian people on the planet. President Trump is a mixture of Palladian and Andromedan. Being a first person here is unusual, but there are first time reptilian people, Andromedan, you know, Lyran. It's, you know, in the queue when you get here, basically, or, you know, you decide this is the right time. So while I can't give you a percentage or a fact, I would just say that it is unusual, and it's more pressure on you, because you haven't had lots of incarnations on this earth to have several goes at doing what it is you wanted to do. Now, it doesn't mean that you've got 100,000 lifetimes ahead of you. It might be that this is your one and only shot at doing whatever it is you need to do. But it is unusual, but it's not unique. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Matthew says, do extraterrestrials have a name for our galaxy, the one we call Milky Way?
If they do, I'm not aware of it, because each group will have its own name. It's not like here on Earth, where you have a map of the world and you have a country, let's say Africa, and although we will all speak different languages, we say the word Africa, or you're looking at a chart of the water, or you're looking at stars which might have a Greek or a Latin name, because that's the same everywhere or nearly everywhere. They don't work like that. They have their own name for it. So the reptilians will have a name for it. The mantids will have a name for it. The greys will have a name for it. But they have a coded number system which is shared by all, or at least within that dimension. So although the names will be different, the coded numbers are the same. I, anecdotally, if you like, picking up information from other non-humans in the same vicinity as me, when they refer to it, they refer to it as the Great River. That's the Milky Way. They call it the Great River. That's as best as it would be translated into our language. They call the general environment, the 9, 10, 11 planets or bodies around the Earth, they call it the place where the Earth sits. But I don't know what their own terminology, it would be not relevant for me to know. But yes, I hope that gives you some idea as to the non-coordination between all these different races. They coordinate on a computer way, but they don't coordinate in a language way.
Okay, thank you. The last question today is from Wanda.
Is it the last question already? Yeah. Have we been going an hour?
Yeah, so almost, yeah. He says, I've just listened to Rising Phoenix Aura Regression, The Battle Inside Inner Earth, The City of Agartha on YouTube, marker 119, which I love watching because she's amazing.
Okay.
The following is a snippet from her regression video about Trump. Can you tell me about QAnon? This is a question and answer that's been read in the regression.
Oh, right, so it's the person...
Yeah,
right,
person's asking, then someone's giving an answer.
I understand.
So the question is, can you tell me about QAnon? The answer, QAnon is a collective of people in power fighting darkness by using proof information and bringing this information to people. Is Donald Trump a reptilian? Donald Trump is a positive reptilian, in brackets, he does not know this, and has reptilian traits with a higher consciousness. He is also a walk-in return, meaning he has done this before. And then the question for you is this the reason Donald Trump refers to himself in the third person?
Right. Trump is not a reptilian. Let's get that absolutely straight. He's not a reptilian. And funny, a couple of questions back, he's Palladian and Andromedan. But the questioner actually is more accurate than they realise, because the person's also put in that he has reptilian traits. And that's very interesting, because you can have reptilian traits, but not be a reptilian soul. If you have spent your life fighting the reptilians, and let's face it, most warrior Palladians have, through many, many thousands of years, maybe millions of years, then you, Palladians are very, when I say easily influenced, I do not mean that disrespectfully. They will take on things. A Palladian person is more likely to take on an Aussie accent who goes to Australia to live than a reptilian person. So there's no way that there's any reptilian in President Trump, but he has reptilian attributes in the sense that as an Andromedan and as a Palladian, but the Andromedan is more of a warrior. The Palladian's a warrior, but is more of more of a gentle warrior. But there's an edge to those people, Palladians or Andromedans, who fought the reptilians. They take it on. Let's take a cop, an American cop, could be a British cop, it doesn't matter. And that cop does 20 years in his or her state or county, and they serve. They spend their time mixing with a whole range of people, but unfortunately they mix with a lot of what you might call low life. They meet with a lot of evil people. And you can't rub shoulders, you can't be putting these people in jail for 20 years without becoming a little bit like them. Or at least, if you don't become like them, you come a little bit down to their level, because, hey, that's what I expect from these people. That's the way they're going to treat me, so I'm going to be like that. And when they meet, say, an ordinary person who's not like that, sometimes they forget that, and the cop is a bit pushy or a bit brusque or rude or aggressive, because he or she has spent God knows how many years, you know, dealing with these people who frankly want to kill them. So when you look at Palladians and Andromedans, who have for thousands and thousands of years fought against reptilians who frankly want to kill them, they sometimes become a little bit on the arrogant side. But that is to be understood, because that's what they've been involved with. And I understand that. And I've always said, one third of me is reptilian, one third of me is mantis or mantid, and one third of me is higher human. So I guess that allows me, perhaps, to have all these different aspects to look at it and to try to verbalize what's happened here. If President Trump was reptilian, then he wouldn't perhaps sort of be courting these groups or be in the pockets of these groups. He'd be one of the groups. If President Trump was reptilian, you wouldn't have every TV station bar Fox on his back. You wouldn't have all the newspapers against him. You wouldn't have him being impeached. You know, that just wouldn't happen. If you're fully reptilian and you're fully signed up to that agenda, then you will be supported by the system. There are plenty of people with a reptilian soul who have made the choice for good. Now let's get that clear. You know, I saw the Polar Express for the first time, and Tom Hanks, who was playing the ticket collector, or the conductor, I think you might call him in America, said, you know, his words were slightly different from mine. He said, it's like, you know, it's where you get on the train. Do you choose to get on the train, or do you not choose to get on? And it's really funny that before I ever saw that years ago, I used to say, it's where you choose to get off. So although Tom Hanks is talking about the beginning and I'm talking about the end, the point is, it's about, do you choose to participate in something, and what is your end goal? And, you know, if Trump was a reptilian person of an evil intent, he would have all the support of all the other elite around him. And the very fact that he doesn't surely must tell us something about what's going on. So I do agree with some aspects that you've said there, but I know a reptilian when I see one, and he ain't one. I want to thank everybody. I hope that your Christmas has been good. You may have known that Becky has not been well, I know some people perhaps slightly misunderstood. It was actually quite serious. It's an ongoing condition that she has. She's going to have an operation in January, and I want to thank the National Health Service here in Britain. We are so lucky. The hospital was incredibly excellent with the way they were treating her, and the way that the medicines were used, and the MRI scans and all the rest of it. So what that might be is, in January, we might have to put something out saying that Becky will be out of action for a couple of weeks, so she won't be able to respond to emails, and I will see if the team can rally around. I do not want her coming back to pick everything up and 10,000 emails there. I wouldn't want that, and I know that the small dedicated team wouldn't want that either. So that's very important. So if you are emailing and you don't get a reply straight away, then there's a reason for that. Okay, so thank you very much indeed. Let's look forward to the new year. And I'm just so glad you've, mainly due to the proddings of Becky, who said you must get one out. You know, we need to get one out, because I'm not very good with calendars and dates, and I don't really understand things like that. But I knew it was time for one, but she got us to do it. So thank you very much indeed to everybody. And I am actually looking positively forward, not on the doom and gloom side. I think it's everything to play for, and it's a joyous outlook. Thank you. Take care.